So how'd y'all's night go? Good? Mine was all right, too. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, we're gonna change a little bit. Hope it doesn't offend you too bad. I'm a real serious, let's see, I don't know what to think about what to say the right word, but I'm real sticky about the local church and how it functions and how we submit to it and how we work with it. I don't believe that people have the right to be away, be free, be free on their own, doing their own thing. You know, I love Jesus. I'm a priest. I don't need to do this. That's a devil. So I don't agree with it at all. Okay? So now we know where I stand on that. I go to Mexico. We get all these people born again. If we don't have a local church in the area, we start one. But when people get born again, we train them to stay in a local church together because there's strength and power in the local church. So I believe in that. Okay, so when I get a local church assembly, lots of times I don't get that because I preach more evangelistic things most of the time. But like this morning, this is more y'all's local church. Is that correct? So I'm going to share something that's very valuable to me. It's really a serious thing that everything is serious to me, I guess. I say that a lot, I guess. But this, see, our work in Mexico is really large. I mean, we have enough pastors in our work, just pastors, to fill up every chair in this place. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's really something. And that's a lot of pastors. Okay, so how do you keep this thing running? How do you keep it from being a machine instead of Holy Ghost oriented? How do you keep it from being all administration? How do you keep it with flow, with the power, with the anointing? All right? And I want to talk about that just a little bit, if that's all right. Is that okay? Because I am so serious about the local church and about staying submitted to it in a local body and building and working with it, regardless of the family problems that arise. Also, I'm a family man. All right, my wife and I disagree. So just because I disagree with her, I throw her in the garbage can and get somebody else. Is that how we do it? Yes, it is. That's how our society does it. That's not how I do it, but that's how we as a people do it. You understand that? Here in Australia, it doesn't matter. Europe, America, I'm telling you, the percentages is awful. It's to the people that get divorced and over stupid things that can be worked out. Okay? And so the mentality is in the church. You don't like it? Just walk. Just walk. Just get up and leave. See ya. One phrase, one sentence. People not willing to talk out their differences. And that makes you stronger when you do that. So, I from the inception of our work, from the beginning of the days of building these churches, building a church to me does not mean putting a building together. Anybody can build a building, but who can build the body of Christ? That's what I'm after. That's what I really want. And that's what I'm getting because of the Holy Ghost. All right. So, I approach everything I do aggressively, and I do it with lots of prayer, lots of fasting, lots of thinking. Sit down and think about it. All right, what I'm fixing to do, what do I think it's going to bring about? What I say out of my mouth and what my actions that I'm going to do, what are the results going to be? How many people are going to be offended? How many people are going to leave the ministry? How many people are going to flow with me? How is it going to affect us? in the long run. I'm not too interested, really, in the beginning or in the short run of things. I'm more interested in the long run of life. I do lots of things on short term, but mainly the bulk of my life has to do with longevity, with performing 20 years from now, 30 years from now. What I do right now is seed for 30 years. I'll be bearing fruit after a while, and I'll get it in a minute. But I've learned a lot living with these Indians. They don't, they're just not in a hurry. They don't have watches. If you tell them, I'll pick, and I want to be on time, and I mean to the minute. And I do, I'm on time. But their culture, they're not. I could be there, tell them we're going to leave at 3 o'clock. I'm leaving at 3 o'clock. I'm cranking my truck and I'm leaving if you're not there. Well, they'll roll in about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So I've learned to tell them, be there at 12. I don't tell them I'm leaving at 1. I've learned how to live and to adapt to their lifestyle. So my whole schedule is set up on what we call Mountain Indian time. All right. When I'm talking to my fellow workers, missionaries, I tell them, this is American time. This is not mountain time. And that means we're leaving. And if I'm dealing with a Westerner, I leave when I say I'm leaving. And you walk or drive your own vehicle. You know, that may be hard, but that's the way we are in our society. We leave on time. But they don't. So I have to adjust my thinking to work with the people. Did you hear me? What I just said? It doesn't make me compromise on how I believe. It makes me right to work with them. And so that's what I like. I like to be right to work with them. So I went after God and I told him, I said, listen, Holy Ghost, our work is awesome. I mean, man, we've had all these miracles and fascinating things. But listen, church, I'm not satisfied with how we are. I know that's a hard thing to get a hold of. Because how can you not like 100,000 people getting saved? I do like that. How can you not like over 200 people being raised from the dead? That's not right. I do like that. How can you not like having 300 churches built in 20 years? I like it. That's not the point. The point is, I want our work fresh. I want fresh oil daily from the Holy Ghost. So you have to go to Him, and you have to ask Him for fresh oil. Well, I didn't know what He was getting ready to do in the world. And I was feeling not frustrated, but uncomfortable. Our work was growing. Percentages, great percentages every year we grow. We're higher than most work as far as getting souls and getting new churches and getting miracles. Because we're getting somewhere around 70% of everybody we pray for healed. I like that. That's higher than most. Most is point something something of 1%. You know? And I'm not against that, you know, but that's not, I won't live with it for me. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. Do you understand? So I'm not down on you. I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying personally to lift everything up and get it rolling higher and greater percentages so God can really move. That's what I'm here for. Alrighty. Also, to rebuke a little bit along the way is always right. And to correct and to help. That's what I'm supposed to do. Alright. So, I left here 2 years ago on the 19th of November. I got back into the United States. I left here. I left Australia earlier than that, but I went to New Zealand for several weeks after I left here. And when I got it, we did some conferences in the States. I went back to the Mexico work. And when I got in there, God really, this was the beginning of 95. God was on me, I mean, He was pressuring me to bring the whole work up more to a newer level. Man, I don't know how to do that. I mean, our work is already what we call redlining. Do y'all know understand that term, redlining? Most of you men will understand it, a lot of you ladies. It's a tachometer on an engine that whenever you put it on the red line, the engine will function normal there. You move it across that line, you're going to blow up. So I figured that we were redlining already. How can I get us above that without blowing out people and burning people out and hurting the work and hurting the pastors and being too aggressive that's not healthy for the work? Do you understand? So I have a problem. I feel like God's asking me to do greater, but I already feel like we're tacked up. Our motor... So what God had me do was move the red line over. To do that, you have to blueprint the engine. Who knows what that means? All right, there's a few people that do. All right, that means it's perfectly harmonically balanced and you cannot blow it up. You can put it in first gear and mash it to the floor and run it all day long. If it's really a blueprinted right, it will not destroy itself. It'll just sit and run. And so that's what I had to figure out to do. Now, I'm going to have to add to it later. I know that. I know God now. I've watched Him move us in levels and steps. And we're really moving. And I'm happy. All right. So I asked God, I'm going to try to get this done. Y'all give me about an hour. Can you do that? Is that all right? All right. Go to Romans chapter 4 with me, please. And I'm going to try to describe to you how God advanced us. I'm not saying that there's an equation here for advancement or movement, but I am saying that it's working with us, and it's a possibility. You need to think about it. Okay? I'm not going to give you an equation per se, but I'm going to tell you how we sought the Lord and how we got results that are out beyond anything I've ever dreamed of. I couldn't have sat down with some of y'all that are good dreamers. I'm a pretty good dreamer. And I couldn't have sat down with you and us just start talking about what if God did give us dots, infinity power. What if? And we start rolling with it. I can think. I can dream. And I like it. But have you ever read in your Bible that God will give you greater than you ever ask or think? Have you ever read that in your Bible before? So have I. So I think about stuff. And I think big, because I want God to give me greater than that, because it's His will to do that as His Son. You with me? All right. So I feel the Holy Ghost trying to get me to get up on that next level, and I just can't reach it, because it feels like it's too big of a step for what I'm trying to do. Because I already push us all and tack us all out to the limit as it is. But I'll tell you, when the hand of God grabs you and moves you, He moves everything with it. The whole ministry moved at one time, and no one felt out of place. So it was pretty awesome. To get that done, in January of 1995, I'm telling you, I felt heaven set down on me to begin to pray and fast. And so I was with the Americans and with the internationals, our international pastors, our leaders. I began to share it with them. I feel like we need something deeper than we got. I mean, you say, raising the dead ain't deep enough. You know, I know how we think. And I understand that thinking, but I'm telling you, God's ocean, God's ability is bigger than any three or four things you go after to get. I would have argued with you, let's say, see what today is the first anniversary year of when we got today. the 27th of October, I was in Mexico a year ago today when we got hit with what I'm trying to explain to you right now. I don't have enough explanation to tell you, and you're going to have to forgive me for that. You just have to see it one of these days when God rewinds life in front of us. We'll get to see the whole spirit world and what all was happening. It'll be awesome. It'll be the best video you've ever watched. So I started telling them. And then I got this idea came to me to sit the whole ministry down for a month. So, God chose, I felt like the Holy Ghost wanted us to sit down the whole month of September 1995 and pray and fast. And that myself personally and all the Americans and all the elder board that works with me in Indians, I was determined to get all of them and all of their family to follow me. And I didn't feel like I would be able to get every man, woman, and child in the ministry, but I was going to work on it anyway. I was determined to ask them to follow me into this thing because God was trying to lift the work to a greater level. And I had been around and seen a few places where God had worked and some people call it a laughing revival. Some people call it a refreshing. Some people call it a river. People got all kind of names for what God's trying, what He's actually doing in all over the world now in almost every country. And it's happening. There's a lot of division over it. There's a lot of controversy. I mean, there's all sorts of things happening. But in our work, I was not impressed. Please don't think that I think I'm better than anybody, because I'm not. I'm not impressed with laughing. I'm not impressed with crying. You can ask my family. They don't impress me when they start crying. You know what impresses me? Change. That impresses me. I'm not impressed with people. I mean, I love it. You see me. I've been here every night. Oh, I'll walk by them. They'd be calming down. Fire. I mean, bang. I like it. I enjoy it. I myself have been going. The reason I leave early is because I can't minister anymore. I'm going home. I'm out of here. It isn't because I'm sick and hurt. I sit down because I am so dizzy I can't walk. And I walk out of here hanging on to my wife. And I like the manifestation. You hear that? But I'm not manifestation oriented. Did you hear that? So that's a lot of freedom to me. That lets me be free. That means I can receive easier. Because it doesn't matter how it comes, but the manifestation doesn't bother me. What bothers me if I don't have anything? What if I'm some knot on a log sitting there? That bothers me. So I really have to open my heart up. And I don't turn introvert. I don't get mad because sometimes when I don't feel what other people are feeling, I sit there and go, help me, God, my God. These people are getting blessed. I want it too. Hallelujah. And it'll come in a minute. Might take a few minutes, but it'll come. So I'm sitting there, right? And so the elders, every one of them, American and Indians, said to me, this is God, Brother Hogan. And I said, whoa, that was easy. That was easy. Wow. If I can get it past all of these guys that easy, I'll try it in the whole work. So I had a whole pastor's thing and I said to him, hey, I think it's God. The elders think it's God. We're going to fast in September. What do you think? Yes! Everybody was in agreement. I said, whoa! I've never had anything so easy in my life. I mean, you can do small things and have half the work disagree with you. But this thing was awesome. This thing was awesome. And so I said, okay. Now, but I didn't know what we were going for. Did you hear me? I had an idea because I had seen other works around the world, but I didn't know exactly because of the Indians, the culture, and everything about them. I didn't know what we were going to go into. And for most people, change is the enemy. All right? for me, change, I love it. I like the uncertainty of change. I just really, it impresses me. I mean, to me, it's so much faith there when you don't know your next step, but you're keeping walking anyway, and anything can spring up on you. Oh, I like that. My wife hates it. I love it. So, I told them, all right, we're going to formulate a plan and I'll get it all back to you. So what we decided to do was to fast 14 days a month for 8 months, alternating two on and two off until we got to the 31-day fast, and then we'd go straight. Okay, how about that? And there was purpose. But what was the purpose? I don't know. But it was there. God was leading us into it. So, I couldn't I had a whole list of things I want changed in my own personal life. Had a whole list of things that had to do with finances. Whole list of things in the family. Whole list of things in the work. We had pages of things we were submitting in prayer and fasting to the Holy Ghost. Okay? But then there was one page I had on there. Purpose was blank. Now that's a pretty hard reason to fast. Blank. Do without food that many days. It's uncomfortable to the flesh and it's uncomfortable in the home. I mean, there's a lot of things that are uncomfortable to you. Fast brings up all the trash. Fasting and prayer. People say to me, man, when I fast, things get worse. It's supposed to. What? That's right. How do you get pure gold? You add fire to it. What happens? What makes it pure? Taking impurities out. Are you with me yet? When you add the heat of the fasting and the prayer and the lifestyle of the Holy Ghost to your body, the impurities are going to come to the top. And what you got to do is take that little Holy Ghost cup and skim that junk off and throw it in the trash. It don't matter how it's... Do you understand that when those impurities come up, they have a certain amount of gold tint to them? But it goes in the trash anyway because it makes it impure. So, that's what prayer and fasting does for us. It boils up to the surface, the impurities that are blocking me from being that block of pure gold that God's looking for. Are you with me now? Now you see why I do it. It's not because I enjoy life. Oh, I love to eat. I'm a big old boy. I can eat, and I like to eat. But I like the fire of heaven better. So one of them is going to have to give up. So, to be that block of pure gold I'm looking for, I'm going to have to seek heaven. Now, look at this. It says right here in Romans 4, it says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made you. Do you understand? The man was 100 years old, had a dead body, his wife had a dead womb, but God said, I have made you and Sarah a father and a mother of many nations. If you look at it like we look at life, it will never happen. You know why? It can't happen because they passed the flower of their youth. There is no life left in them for barren children. How about that? When we say, oh yeah, Father Abraham is my father in the faith, what are we saying? What we're saying is, he didn't have the Bible. He didn't have professional counselors to go to and whine and cry. He had to suck it up and believe God. Tighten a notch on his belt and say, I'm wrong, God's right. His body was dead. You know what he said? The Bible says about him, he didn't consider his own body now dead. He considered the Word of the Lord. Did you hear that? What if you would have been Abraham? No Bible, no tracts, no great videos, no wonderful cassette tapes, No Ron Canole, nothing. Huh? Huh? I have to believe that some of us wouldn't make it. Because we believe too much on crutches. We lean too heavily on prop-ups. We won't deal with the problem. We get us another prop-up to keep us standing. And throw those prop-ups away. Let the Holy Ghost purify us. And let the fire of heaven cleanse us. And let's deal with the problem. And let's be solid gold. I'm talking how to walk a Christian lifestyle that I've been preaching to you the last six nights or five nights. I'm showing you now how to walk it. I'm talking to you about it. I'm kind of teaching more than preaching here. It says right here in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Look at that. He had no thing to rely on, nor did he have anybody to fellowship with. Did you hear that? He didn't have anybody to fellowship with. And there's some people sitting right in here that if you don't have somebody that you can lean on, you just won't make it till the next day. Bless your little heart. Listen to me. Lean on Jesus. Y'all ever sung that old hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the, that's what I have to do. Do you see why I've gotten so strong? It's not because I am different than you. It's because God threw me in a jungle and there was no one there but Jesus and the devil. And it's my choice which way I'm going. Alright? And I'm not fussing at you, it may seem like. I'm not. I'm trying to give you examples of men that stood their ground and believed in hope and believed in the Holy Ghost and didn't have anything else to lean on. When I first went to Mexico, I didn't have enough money to buy no Ron Canole music tape. I didn't have it. All I had was Jesus and Miss Hogan. Isn't that right, Miss Hogan? And it says right in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20 is probably, in 21, some of the, probably the top 30 or 40 verses in the Bible that I lean on personally. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. But Brother Hogan, I do that. That whining attitude I just heard out of you tells me up front you're lying to me. You're propped up. You're not stood up by the Holy Ghost. Listen, I do care about problems and I want to help. That's not my problem. It's not. I'm not fussing about that. What I'm fussing about is we don't want to deal with the problem. We want somebody else to give us a counseling way out without dealing with it. And it just is not available if you want to be the man and woman of God that Jesus wants us to be. We have to stand on faith in the Holy Ghost. That's the end of it. That is the end of it. It says, being fully persuaded, convinced what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I've had to come to grips with that. And I've been talking to y'all every night about that very verse right there. All week I've been telling you about that verse right there. Right there. If he said it, he can do it. I've been talking all week on that verse. Right there. So what I did in the work, I went to God. Oh Lord, man, you think it's easy to fast 14 days every month? Son, I don't sit at the house. I got a rolling schedule that puts me around the world, and I'll tell you it's hard. Boy, ooh, some of these fancy restaurants I get taken to, and oh man, to sit there and turn that plate over, and you got all these you know, high-powered pastors and they all lay big fancy credit cards. Here, Brother Hogan, put it on here. It hadn't got to do with money. It's got to do with the Holy Ghost. Y'all have to excuse me this meal. You have to excuse me the next one. And they don't understand it. Lots of them just say, you're out of your mind. Man, it's ridiculous. You've gone too far. And I'll tell them, I haven't gone far enough, but I surely will if God permits me to keep living. I surely will. I will go too far. Because let me say this to you. If you can name one man that you've ever met that had too much faith, one man, name it. It's not possible to get too much faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you meet somebody that's encouraged about God and they really have a heart to seek God, man, don't discourage them and rebuke them. Lift them up and help them. And, hey, man, I respect you. Go for it. Whether you believe all they believe or not, man, let them go for God. And encourage them to do so. Let them believe against hope, against hope. You can't never tell. It just might come to pass for them. It did for me so far. And there's some things in the works now I wish I could tell you. If it comes to pass, you'll hear about it. And you'll say, he wanted to tell us, but boy, it worked for him. Maybe it'll work for me. You just be listening for something. And it's big. Bigger than me. All right. Look over here to Psalms 46. As we begin, the Holy Ghost started, see, with all of the amount of people that were praying and fasting with us to get us moved to a new level, another level of understanding of God, it was really, some power was falling in our work. I mean, our work was intensifying before we ever got to the main fast. The encouragement and the energy in the people was, it was phenomenal to see. I mean, we couldn't wait for September to get there. All of us, me, everybody. Wow, come on, September. And I like to eat, but I'll tell you, oh, we were so happy. I mean, so encouraged and so, oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, man, this thing's going to change us. And by the time September got there, the whole work was ready for change. Every man, woman, and child was ready. And look at Psalms, what did I tell y'all, 40-something? 46, yeah. Get that right. 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Have y'all ever sang that song before? God is my refuge and God is my strength. A very helping time of trouble. See why I don't sing? All right, but listen to me. It's more than just a song. It's more than just a Bible verse. This thing is filled with power. If this ground under us now started shaking, where would you run? Where are you going to run? There's nowhere to go. There is nowhere to go. People say to me, well, man, if the thing started falling off in the ocean, I'd run to higher ground. What for? It's going to crumble under your feet if God's moving it. Just stand and rejoice, church. Because if you look at things around you, you'll be taken in by them. But if you rejoice, regardless of what's around you, God will be there for protection. It says, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shaken with the swelling thereof, Selah. I want you to look at verse 4. There is a river. Oh, Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a river of God. And what God wanted us to do in the work, He wanted us in this river in a deeper way. We were already flowing, and we were doing and going and blowing and doing every kind of thing that's possible to do, son. Our work is fairly stable on all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a bigger river God wants us in. It don't matter how much you love Jesus. It don't matter how great your understanding is. There's a bigger God, and He's calling you to Himself. There is a river, church. There is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And yesterday, Brother Jan said something to the men, because he read it yesterday morning. Go to Psalm 65. He had no idea I was going to share this morning. Psalm 65. I want to show you something here. Verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Do you understand that we are chosen? You did not choose this trail. God chose you. Did you hear that? People have these bumper stickers. I found it. I have to disagree with that. God brought you. You didn't find anything. He chose you. I am blessed. I am chosen of the Lord. And I believe it. It said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach to you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied, listen to this, with the goodness of your house, even your holy temple. Now then, there are few people that I know that are truly eating from the table of the Lord. Few people. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants us to taste of the goodness of God. Did you hear that? Listen, church. Regardless of your depth in God, regardless of your understanding of the Holy One, God is taking us, wants us to come into the goodness of His holy temple. I mean, look, I have tasted of the heavenly gifts. It's awesome to touch dead people and them get up. Golly, it does something to you inside that very few things can do. It's awesome to touch a leper and them be cleansed. It's awesome to touch the blind and the eyes fly, to touch a paralyzed person and them just get up in front of you. And you know they're broken. And you watch God fix it. It's just, oh Lord, I like it. I like it a lot. But you know what? The goodness of the table of the Lord doesn't have a few items. There are things of God that I believe none of us have tasted. I believe there's a doorway that very few men have ever walked through. How else could Jesus or Moses or Aaron or Elijah or Elisha, how can those guys walk up with their handkerchief to the river and hit the river and it split open for them? Who do you know that's ever done that? I'm telling you, there's something in God for us. And it's the goodness of God. And we can have it. We shall be satisfied. I'm telling you, you people are not satisfied. Even though I've tasted all this, y'all, I'm not satisfied to the degree I want to be. I am healthy, but there's more of God. The goodness of God is bigger than any thousand of us. Do you hear me, church? And I knew it's there. I know it, and I know more, even though heaven is poured out on us. I know there's more. Verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and waters it. Thou greatly enhancest it with the river of God, which is full of water. There is no drought in heaven. There may be a drought in Australia. Our country of Mexico has been in drought for years just like y'all. But let me tell y'all something. There is no drought in heaven. There may not be water in the rivers around here, and you may be put on you have to alternate how you use your water here in the natural. But I'll tell you, heaven is not short on water. God waters us, and we have to drink it. We have to let the water soak in. We have to let it come into us. I've been watching many of you, and you're intently trying. You're trying, God, God. Listen, stop trying. Soak it in. You can't produce it. But the water can produce the fruit if you'll be the right tree and just absorb the water. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that, why do you think they're irrigating that pasture out there? You can't go on every plant and inject it. There's no possible way for us to get it together enough to do it like God wants it. You'll never get there that way. But you can relax and you can let that, look what it says right here. Thou waterest the ridges in verse 10. Therefore abundantly, thou settlest the furrows, thou makest it soft with showers. The thing you're doing right is by coming every night and every night and getting in the shower. Because in a minute, it's going to soak through, buddy. Water can't be stopped. I've lived in monsoon rains for 20 years. It's the most powerful force on the planet. Much more powerful than wind. Wind, you can hide from. Water, you cannot hide from. If it's coming, it'll get you. And it's awesome. Oh, boy. What water can do. I've seen it, and it's scary. Look at verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths, or paths, like y'all say, drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. You may consider yourself in a wilderness time, and it may possibly be so. But listen to me, please, church. The goodness of God is going to drop, and we got to take it. The mercies of heaven, oh, they're new every day. You might have made a mistake yesterday. Today we repent, and we receive the mercies of God. You hear me? This thing is awesome. There's a river, and I can flow in it. There's a pastor friend of mine that his church has been hit with the river of God. That's what he calls it. He won't let me change it to nothing else. He says, the river of God come washing through my church, Brother Hogan. He was a very conservative, Holy Ghost-filled Southern Baptist minister in the United States. And buddy, when the river flowed through his church, that man don't even look the same. He gets up there and he says, good morning. My name has been changed. My name now is Captain River. I live in the river. I'm a river liver. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch this guy. I know him. I've been on him for years. His miracles of God have flowed through this man. He's a wonderful guy to be around. But now he's done changed his name from Brother Rod Aguilar to Captain Liver in the river. And I like that. I couldn't believe it. I call him up on the phone every now and then. Hello, Captain Liver. How's the river? Listen. I went into this fast on the first day of September. I think it was the 3rd, wasn't it? The 4th? Wait, no. I don't remember what we did. I don't remember either. We started this fast, and I'm sitting there, and I'm, I locked my wife out. I locked my kids out. They're all fasting, but I'm alone, and I'm sitting there. Oh, it's boring. Oh. Because I am not a loner type. You can see, I like to shout. I like to be mobile. But son, when you shut that door for a month, and sit down for a month, it's highly undesirable to the flesh. The 3rd day, Jesus came in there. He touched me. And I thought, maybe it's time to, maybe this is what I was looking for. Because the touch of, but I said, no, I'm going to take this touch. So you're not around humans. So you don't know how deeply you've been touched. And so I'm sitting in there, and day 7 comes along. I'm laying on the bed, listening to the Bible tape. The Holy Ghost, get this,
I am in a lay on my back position. I'm all of a sudden scooped up and put on the wall. From laying down, now get this, boom, I'm on the wall. And I'm scared. Because that's not your normal way to get up off the bed. To bump up against the wall like that. So, oh my God, oh my God. All of a sudden, listen to me. Revelation knowledge. Pastor Jan, listen to me. Have y'all ever downloaded a computer, some information off of one disk onto your computer base? And that information you can see on the screen. That's what was happening to me in the Holy Ghost. God was downloading information into my brain. Things were all of a sudden easy that were hard. I tore out running, ran to my desk. I grabbed up my pen. I started writing down phrases that would key the memory. Pages. It was awesome. I thought, this is it. This is what I was looking for. But I thought, what if there's another one coming? So I decided to stay put. And I did. I did right. I did that thing right straight on through, buddy. But then all of a sudden I come down here, I don't know if it was down day 17, I saw my kids or something like that, or 14 or something. I went and saw my kids. Oh, and what I was talking about, 100 miles an hour. Hadn't talked in a long time. And I'm talking stuff about the Holy Ghost. Oh boy, they're all looking at me. And God had touched them, and we're sharing how back and forth, just in my family. I hadn't even been out, I haven't stepped foot on the grass. I did it after 18 days. I went outside. But not where anybody could mess with me and talk to me. I want to stay cut off from the rest of the world. I want Jesus to touch me. You understand? And we didn't eat. I got miracles. I didn't drink. I didn't drink or eat. It was either 5 or 7 days. I don't remember right now. But God touched me all the way. This is awesome, awesome. What I didn't know this. Every American, every Canadian, and all the pastors, we had every day no less than 365 people fasting with me every day. Every day. Because I did a survey on the leaders. I didn't go into all the work. I don't know how many there was, really. But there was up to 500 people a day fasting to God. So just think about heaven. All right? We're up here. All of a sudden, from our work, there's a year a day of fasting come pouring into God. Somebody got serious down there. Heaven's making his records. So I came out the other end. I am refreshed. I am hit with heaven. I don't know how deep, though. I haven't been around anyone. So we have this little church. It's a couple of hundred people. It's under Freedom Ministries right there in America. And it's a hopping. Oh, it's awesome. It's fun. And so I told the pastor, I said, I want to preach. He said, Brother Hogan, you can preach anytime you want to. I said, I don't want to just preach. I want a conference. So I invited a couple of pastors down. We got up in there and I want you to listen to me. I have never seen it before. Didn't it come? Didn't the fire of heaven fall? I thought, wow, this is pretty good. And I thought, that's what we got touched with. But y'all, what that was the tip of the iceberg. The main bulk was still hidden to me. I didn't know what was fixing to happen. And so we got, here, go with me over to Revelation now. I'm still doing all right. On time, is that okay? So far, so good. Revelation 22. See, I finally went into Mexico. I was fasting in our office. And I went into Mexico, and I haven't seen any of my pastors or anybody. I don't know how anybody's doing, none of the Americans. I don't know how anybody's doing. I just know I've been touched. And I saw it in a 4-day meeting there in our little church in South Texas. So I said, oh, this is good. And I thought that's what I had. I thought that was it. Oh, but it was much bigger. Oh, don't you dare limit God to what you can see. I'm trying to encourage you. What you see has nothing to do with what you've got. What you feel has nothing to do with what you are. What you can see doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That's not the way it is. So what I did, I figured, there's these certain areas in our work that are harder to work with. Let's put it like that. So I called together, I had all these things set up before this big pastor's conference. And I had all these meetings set up. And I only wanted to deal with pastors. That's all I wanted to deal with, because I wanted to see where we were. So I went to the hardest one first. And I get up in there, and the president of the Freedom Ministries in Mexico was sitting there, and he's watching me. He's intently watching me. He's made the whole fast with him. And he's watching, and he's observing. And I'm sitting up there. I got up there, I just threw my Bible up on the thing, and I said, there's been a change. Y'all ever sing that song? There's a big change in me, a big change in me. I am so happy, I am so free. He brought me out of bondage into liberty. Ho, 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 there's a big change in me. That's an awesome little song. And I told him, there's a change. I have been changed. And they're just watching me, watching me. And I shared a couple of verses. And I said, stand up. All the pastors stood up. I said, take the fire of heaven. You should have seen it. I mean, men are flying like you hit them with a bat. And I mean, these are very conservative Indians here. And they're flying up against walls and flying up. It was the most scary. I was, whoa, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was going to happen. It was awesome. And we went right on through several meetings. And then the big day came. But I didn't know it was the big day. I want to be honest as I can with you. Okay? I lived my whole life to see God move in a 4-hour period. To date, I can tell you, I had lived to then 43 years and 2 months to see God do what He did, and took Him less than a minute. But I'll be changed for the rest of my life. Y'all, I had almost 200 pastors there. I wish the whole crowd would have been there. I wish they would have, but they weren't. But I had 200 of them. That's good. Had the whole church that was hosting the pastor's conference. They were all there. It was several hundred people. It was fun. It was several hundred folks there. All these women, all these children, everybody was there. First day, I just got up, read one verse, and it said, fire of heaven! Woo! It was fun. About every third person, without anybody touching them. Pow! And then, for the next 2 hours, we were dealing with it. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. But it was not what was coming. I was in the stream, but I wasn't in the river yet. But I was close. And the pull, it was pulling us in. See? Oh God, there's no getting out now. It's too late. The whole work is now involved now. I can't back us out. It don't matter. And I feel nervous. Because you see, when you're carrying that many people, and you're carrying that many people, you gotta be right, church. Do you understand? You can't be wrong. You'll slaughter sheep, and then God will have to deal with you. You never slaughter sheep. Everything that comes out of your mouth, always remember, sheep must be protected. Always. You'll make a good pastor if you'll take care of your sheep. And so, the second day came, and you know, they had had a prayer meeting after I left. I left there about 10 o'clock at night. They prayed till about 2 in the morning. Oh, man. And I mean, God fell. Oh, it was awesome. All right, the second day, I go out there. I'm there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And oh man, we rocked on through till about 11 o'clock that night. I mean, every kind of thing happened all around us. Oh, it was scary. I was nervous. But this time, they took us over to pray for a man that was on chains, a Gadarean demoniac. And we went over. I had a whole bunch of Americans, Canadians, New Zealanders, and we went over there. And I didn't know this was going to happen. We prayed for him, and they shook the chain. He was set free. You hear that? All right. I excused myself from the house. There was about 70 or 75 of our elders in the work was with me, pastors. And they didn't leave with me. They stayed back. That was a mistake, but it was a good mistake for the work. Because they started praying for the family and praying for the neighborhood and praying for the village and praying for what they call municipio. I guess it'd be a district. Municipal. Okay? And then they started praying for the state. And then they started praying for the country of Mexico. And I'll tell you, then they prayed for the world. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. All of them were knocked out. I mean, they could not get off the floor all night. When I got there the next morning at 7:30, I got as I was driving up, the hair on my head started standing up. On my neck. It was scary. I'm telling you. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm sorry I don't have the words to express to you how it was. I really do wish I could be more open on how I feel. I just don't have the words. My capacity is too limited. If I do, it would just gush out on you. I'm telling you. So listen to me. I got out of that truck. I could hardly walk. I mean, I was instantly filled with heat. My shirt just broke out and just sweated through in less than 5 minutes. It wasn't from the heat. It was cool in the morning. And I go walking around. When I tried to go around the corner, had a whole entourage of pastors and people with me that we had brought with us. When I went around the corner, I wavered. There was nothing there, but it stopped me. And I went through it anyway. Mistake number two. But it was a good mistake for the work. I should have run, but I don't have the sense to run. I want you too bad. I have sought the Lord for a year. And He gave it to us. Okay. Look at this, Revelation 22. It says, and I want you to see what it says right here, because I finally saw the river. This river is good. I finally saw the river. And it says in the first phrase in my Bible, and He showed me a pure river. And I saw it. I got to see the river. And it's fun to see the river. See, this thing is awesome to me. And that's why I save it for the local church. I don't want it to be some fascinating thing that onlookers that are not part of a local assembly want to come and participate in. No. It's too honorable. It's too holy. It's too flakes. Don't need it. People that are faithful, that's who needs the river. That's who the river is for. The faithful of God. It says in my Bible, and He showed me a pure river of the water of life. He showed it to me. I'm telling you, I was standing there, and I couldn't hardly talk. And like right now, I can't hardly talk about it. I'm telling you, I feel it again. And he was, the people were ready. They'd had an all-night prayer meeting. Hundreds of people had been praying all night long. And I called up the eight elders, the nine elders, and myself. I made a pact with them. I made a covenant, a martyrdom covenant with them to get Mexico saved for Jesus, regardless of the cost to our personal bodies. And each man, I called him out by name and by section and area. I said, "Do you accept?" And they all said, "Yes." And then one by one, they asked me, "Brother David, do you accept my blood?" I said, "Absolutely," to every one of them. I said to them, "None of us is worthy, but the Holy Ghost makes us worthy." And I said, "Now lift your hands up to heaven." They all lifted their hands up to heaven. I said, "Let's receive." And every one of them, no human touched them. Bam! They're all gone. I jumped across. There was a line of them. I jumped it like this. And when I hit, people started falling and I started running. The anointing was 20, 30 feet in front of me. Every man, every woman, every child, little bitty who could walk, was knocked out. There was none left standing. I had never seen it in my life. The river came. The crystal pure river of heaven. The river of the water of life flowed into our churches through God's ministers that opened their hearts. But you know what? There was a lot of unbelievers ringing that because where we are, they come to watch us. They come to watch. There was dozens of people that weren't born again watching. Whenever that anointing went through, it hit the end of those believers. It went right out there and knocked every unbeliever down. Did you hear that? That's outside of my theology. It didn't stop there. It went on out into the village. People were running. I'm standing on this hill where our church is, scared, trembling at what's happening. I'd never heard of it before like that. And people were running out of their houses, screaming, "Help!" all around. And I looked up to heaven, tears flowing down my face. And I said, "God, what are you..." I was gone. God has the right to do what God wants to do. And you do not have the right to wonder about it. And so I get up after a while and I'm not where I fell. I'm up yonder under the table. I have no idea how I got under the table. I can't get up. My legs won't work. I pull myself around to the table and I'm scared still. And I'm looking, I'm observing, and I'm seeing it's awesome. People are wailing, moaning. People are laughing. People are crying. People are just excited and energy's in them and they're happy. And every kind of emotion to the human body is happening. It was the most awesome thing I had ever seen. But I didn't know what he had done. What he did, church, there was between 20 and 30 people there that we've been praying for. There were blinded eyes. There were tumors. There was lame. There was epilepsy. There was every kind of person. There was these diseases. Everywhere they know I'm going, they bring them. Because you never know when you're going to get hit. So they bring them. Wherever we go, they bring the sick. Every person that was in that building that was sick was healed. 100%. The fire of heaven came. The river, pure water of life, fell on us. And Jesus graced our work with His Shekinah presence. It was awesome. And it's been in every service for the last year. And it's serious. The last pastor's conference we had in May, I let 6 months run until, because I wanted to see where we were at with this river, this pure, crystal water of life. I wanted to make sure we hadn't damaged it. I don't want us to contaminate it with our programs and administration of it. So we had this pastor's conference. I had 280 pastors come, and they were from almost the entire work was there this time. And they never slept. It was 4 days. They never slept. We couldn't preach. I'd get up to preach, fall out. Somebody else would get up to preach, fall out. There was no preaching. There was Jesus. It was scary. We hadn't contaminated it yet with our human plans and schemes. Isn't that awesome? I want you to stand up with me, please. And I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm just saying I want to pray. Would you please? Do you know that song? Yeah. You know that? All righty then. You start singing it or playing it, and we'll start singing. Hallelujah. Kuniyata nete anakata. Listen, it's simple. I just want to ask you. Please, do not feel obligated to do what I'm going to ask you to do. Please, please, I want you to be of an honest, pure heart. Man, I so want the fire of God on me to purify me. I want the garbage out of me. I want to be crystal clear and transparent with the river of God. If you want what I've been saying, Ms. Hogan, Crystal, y'all come up here. I'd like for you just to come right up here with me, church. Just right up here. Now, please don't feel under any obligation or strain. Please don't. Just come because you want to. Because you feel influenced by the Holy Ghost. And I have to tell you, some of you people are going to fall down without anybody catching you. Please be prepared for that. Don't get mad. Don't get hurt. I mean, the river might flow in here, and I don't want to hurt anybody. Alice, you come up here. Tom, you come up here with me. And we'll worry with praying with y'all in a minute. But we're going to try to not get anybody hurt, just in case the river flows. Because I've been watching you. The river's in some of you already. And it's not my fault. I was just talking about the river. Fire! Just take the river, church. But take it for change. Let it purify you. Let the river touch you. Let the river touch you. Let the river flow. Flow, river. Flow, river.